you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I invite you to stand with us as we honor the Word of God this morning. We're reading from Luke 23, verse 34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Oh, Lord God, there are not words enough to speak our gratitude, our thankfulness, our appreciation for what you've done for us. Oh, Father, you gave your only Son to die for us, that we might have life and that we may have eternal life. For you so loved the world that you gave all. Jesus, we thank you for giving yourself as a sacrifice, the sacrifice lamb for the sins of the world, to take away every sin, to bring healing to our bodies, to heal our minds, to heal our emotions, and that we may have life eternal with you, and to be set free from the seduction of this world, to be set free from the power and bondage of Satan and the demonic forces. We are free because of you. Because of you, Lord Jesus, and your sacrifice for us. And then you rose again to give us victory in this life. That we have victory in this life because you overcame death, hell, and the grave. So we can also overcome in this life and have eternity with you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, we thank you. And we give you praise and honor and glory. And I thank you that as the word goes forth this morning, that it will penetrate hearts and minds and change lives and will never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. My sermon on this Easter Sunday is simple, but it's very straightforward. My sermon today should, if you worship God this morning and entered into His presence, will challenge your heart, as it should. If it doesn't challenge your heart, then you may need to spend some time alone with God and recalibrate your relationship with Him. Jesus was very straightforward and very simple with His delivery. And on this Easter Sunday, we need to be reminded, and we should be reminded, that when Jesus Christ was crucified, there were two thieves. Some translations call them criminals, others translations call them robbers. Were crucified on either side of Jesus when He hung on that cross. Now, it is remarkable to me that in this excruciating, mind-numbing pain that Jesus was in from the torture and the torment, that Jesus was not focused on Himself. Jesus was not focused on His pain. Jesus was not focused on the words of persecution thrown at Him. Vile, evil words. Jesus was focused on forgiveness. Jesus was focused on being compassionate. As one man reached out to Him. Today, on this Easter, I want to replant in our minds something that we continually forget through the year, because we become so consumed in our own stuff. That we need to stop forgetting and should wake up every morning reminding ourselves. It would help us in our walk. And it comes from Matthew 27:35 as we begin our journey. And when they had crucified him, they divided the garments among them by casting lots. Let's define crucified. We need to define crucified. It means to be tormented. It means to be severely tortured. We need to get a picture in our minds of the torture and the torment that Jesus took upon his body for you and for me. It doesn't need to be an Easter weekend time that we remember that Jesus was crucified for us. That we remember every day that he was severely tortured. Yet, he did not talk back to them what they were saying to him. He didn't defend himself. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 38, it says, "Then the two robbers were crucified with him, so on the right, one on the right and one on the left." Verse 39, "And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross.'" The Bible, in my opinion, doesn't really do justice to what they really said to him. Because they were being careful. Some of the language that they used, if you study it, it's pretty raw. But knowing people like I know people who can be evil and ruthless, they were saying very vile things at Jesus. As Colin clearly stated, some of the same people doing it now were the same ones praising him going in. Vile, hateful things. They ridiculed him. They mocked him. And here's the worst thing of all. Let's think of it from our own personal perspective. What hurts the worst is when someone laughs at you when you're down. They laughed at him. Nothing penetrates the heart and mind and soul like when somebody laughs at you when you're in pain. They laughed at Jesus. They laughed at him. And Jesus did nothing but bring life everywhere he went. And they laughed at him. They ridiculed him. They mocked him. The same people who praised him. I'm sure many of them were in the crowd. I want to speak to the church here in this opening part of my sermon. Who's the church? The church is you. Those who are saved and born again through Jesus Christ. I will remind you, there's only one way, and it's Jesus. There is no other Savior, there's no other gospel. One, and only one way. This building's not the church, you're the church. Someone has talked to the church for just a moment. Jesus being ridiculed, persecuted, yelled at, tortured, spat upon, continue to show love and compassion. My question to the church today on this Easter, have we lost our compassion for the lost and the broken and the hurting? Are we afraid of words? Are we afraid of persecution? I doubt seriously you'll be persecuted like Jesus. Boy, this Easter message went a different direction all of a sudden. Jesus died for us so that us could tell our Jesus story. What was your Jesus story last week? You need to share it. What was your Jesus story when you gave your heart to the Lord? You need to share it. Have we lost our compassion for the lost and broken and dying because of persecution? Or, even worse, because we're so consumed in ourselves. Jesus could have been. He would have been rightfully be able to state, I'm just going to think about myself. But he didn't. In his pain and in his suffering, he reached out. We have a bad day, we yell at the dog. We don't even reach out to the dog. Should just say, hey man, at least you love me. Jesus had the lost running to him. Now listen carefully. Truth. Jesus did not tickle ears, and the lost ran to him. Stay with me. Jesus' message was not easy, but they ran to him. Stay with me. Jesus did not compromise sin, and the lost ran to him. Jesus didn't provide this incredible experience at his meetings, and they ran to him, because his message was simple and straightforward. Your Jesus story is the greatest story you could ever tell someone. You don't have to wait to bring them in here. Share Jesus with them out there, and then bring them here and invite them to the rest of the church. Have we lost our compassion for the lost? Jesus Christ's compassion, pity, and loving concern for the lowly and the needy. His words and deeds show God's mercy and gracious nature in action. Last night I put down a pen truth that I just want you to listen to that won't be on the screen. Compassion. Compassion that overflow that fuels acts of kindness and mercy. Do we have compassion? Is there some overflow that causes us to act kindly to people, show mercy to people? Jesus lovingly was concerned for the lowly and the needy. Listen to this. His words and deeds, his words and his actions proved that he cared about who? The lost and hurting. Church, on this Easter Sunday, a reevaluation needs to take place this morning. Do our words and our actions, our deeds, prove that we have compassion for hurting people, the lost and the broken? You can't get so busy in your projects that you don't have time for the broken and the lost. Because Jesus died for you. He died for me. On this Easter Sunday, let's be awakened today that we are the church and we have a purpose to reach the lost. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. On this Easter Sunday, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to recommit your life fully and completely to the purpose of reaching the broken and the lost with compassion that Christ showed you. The mercy Christ showed you even yesterday. The love that he showed you even when we weren't loving as we should. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, this moment in history, here at North Elevation Church, we recommit ourselves. It is our reasonable worship to to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to you. You sacrificed your life for us. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to move all through this place and to everyone watching online to begin to shake us with a reevaluation. Where is my compassion for the broken, the hurting, and the lost? And God, I thank you. This will be a marked time in history where we go from this place changed. And that we can say that I am ministering out of the overflow of compassion. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go on our journey. Continue. Matthew chapter 27, verse 41. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. Verse 43. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Now, the thieves are hanging on the cross. Get a picture. We want to live the Bible, right? We don't want to just read it. Everybody up there is suffering. Nobody's been tormented like Jesus. Now, they've been tortured, but not like Jesus. And they are in severe pain too. And they're watching all of this. They're watching the people walk by and rail against Jesus, spit on Jesus. They may even recognize some of the people, and while they were in prison, heard that they had cheered him on the way in, and now they're spitting on him. They're watching all this. Now, the religious leaders come and do the same thing. They're seeing not only are the people against him, but the religious leaders are against him. And those people were important to everybody that was a Jew, was the religious leaders. Now, I'm about to read a verse of Scripture that gets passed over most of the time. It gets missed, and we don't look at it. But we're going to look at it today, because it's very important to what I am going to unpack in a few moments. They heard this. And then in Matthew 27:44 it says, and the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Both of them. Not one of them. Both of them. It's important that you remember that it was both of them. Both of them. Both of them did it. One thing that needs to be corrected is the message that's going out there saying only one of them ever did it. No, both of them did it. It's important because God is going to paint a picture of his kindness, his compassion, his love, and his mercy. Now, I want to stop in one place before I move forward. Mark 15:27 says, and with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. That's the fulfillment of Isaiah 53:12. In the Old Testament. But another important point here is that Matthew and Mark pretty much tell us the exact same story. You read about the thieves in three of the four Gospels. Here you get two of them basically saying the same thing. But we receive brand new information from Luke. Now let's read it. Now, one of the criminals is going to continue to mock Jesus. In Luke 23, verse 39, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? What did we read earlier? Did they both revile Jesus? Both. Now you've got one who's continuing to revile Jesus, and then you've got another one all of a sudden sticking up for Jesus. And he had just spoke against Jesus. Hang on to that. This is important. Now, one of the thieves is about to have a mobile home experience. One of the thieves is about to have a Corey Smithy experience under a mobile home. When the wind chill's 6 degrees outside, it's sleeting, I'm laying in a puddle of water, and the compassion of Christ turned and looked at me. And just moments before that, I had railed against my wife because I had to come home from work to fix a water line. And I railed against my brother because he let it break and he went someplace else to hide out so he wouldn't have to fix it. I come in angry, which was not uncommon. One moment I'm railing against anything that's kingdom, which was my nature. My lost, dark nature. And the next moment, the compassionate voice of God speaks to my heart, and I roll to another part of that mobile home and encounter the Lamb of God. This thief is about to have an under the mobile home experience and encounter the Lamb of God and His compassion. One moment he's over here speaking just like everybody else. And the next moment, he's defending Jesus. I'm going to make a strong point in a moment why. Here in a few minutes. But I come back to the church again. When was the last time you revisited the day you got saved? And the compassion that turned your way and the grace to be saved came your way. Should we not take that message to others? Sometimes we forget who we were and what we've become now. Not for God, we'd still be that person. In Luke 23, verse 41, "And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
I am a thief, I am a murderer, walking up this lonely hill. What have I done? No, I don't remember. No one knows just how I feel. And I know that my time is coming soon. It's been so long, oh, such a long time since I've lived with peace and rest. Now I am here at my destination. I guess things work for the best. And I know that my time is coming soon. this man beside me, they call the King of the Jews. They don't believe he's the Messiah, but somehow I know that it's true. They laugh at him in mockery, and they beat him till he bleeds. They nail him to the rugged cross, and they raise him. Yes, they raised him up next to me. My time has come. I'm slowly fading, but I deserve what I receive. Jesus, when you enter your kingdom, could you please, please remember me? He looks at me still holding on, and the tears fall from his eyes. He says, I tell the truth, and today you will live with me in paradise. Oh, yes, and I know that my time is coming soon. My time is coming soon. Oh, yes, and I know paradise, paradise is coming soon.
Unless we want to change the scriptures, this thief did not have faith in Jesus in the beginning. I'm going to say it again. Unless you want to just change scripture, this thief did not have faith in Jesus in the beginning. Let me tell you what happened. Even though Corey Smith, he wasn't there, I'm going to tell you what happened because I know. In Caesar's court, they sent what we call today reporters to go find Jesus because they wanted him interviewed. And they never could catch up with him. But here's one of the things that was so important. They would ask people, how will I know when I find him? Reported many times the same statement. When you see his eyes, you will know him. I know exactly what happened. He cried out, and Jesus turned his eyes of compassion and love and mercy and grace to the thief. That's what happened. And a thief that had riled against him with vile words is now crying out. And guess what? Jesus didn't reject him. Also, he was there, the thief, when they first crucified Jesus. That was read to us in the beginning. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Mercy Me has a song that has these lyrics in it. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Salvation comes one way, through the cross and a crucified Christ. It's only one way. And my Savior, here's the good news. My Savior, this moment, isn't thinking about what you did this morning or yesterday or even since the first of the year or last year. My Savior wants to embrace you just as you are and bring you on a new journey out of your darkness into the light and have a life of true joy and peace. Even in hard times, you can have true joy and peace through Jesus. My Savior that met me under a mobile home in 1983, actually December 28th, 1983, wants to meet you. And He has turned His eyes of compassion upon you. Did you know His eyes of compassion on His church that's not been taking their Jesus story to anybody? Those eyes are looking on you right now. You don't know why or how you know, but you know that for some time, the presence of God has been drawing you. It's because His eyes of compassion have been upon you, His love, His concern. And He's been doing many things so that you would know. You don't know how you know, but you know. And right now would be a good time to just let go and let God hold you. When I was leaned up against that block across that mobile home, these were my words. First thing out of my mouth, I don't know how you're going to fix this. Because I've done so much. And I said it again, I don't know how you're going to fix this. But I believe you're the Christ. Do you know that's all it takes? And I ask Him to forgive me. I said, come on, take my life. A grown man that never would show anything off center comes out from underneath that trailer and skips like a child all the way through the yard and jumps up on the steps of our mobile home. And of course, I'm a manly man. I had to turn around and see if anybody saw me. But God worked that out, got that out of me. I'm telling you, you can know joy unspeakable. You say, Pastor, I'm not waiting any longer. That's me. If that's you, I openly, first chance I got, got into a service and I said, hey, I'm a Christian now. And one of the little old ladies, true story, walked up to me and said, you're the stinker we've been praying for. Jesus loves you. And I'm going to encourage you right now, just say, Pastor, just raise your hand up far enough that I can see you and say, today I want to make that. I'm going to slide from where I'm at into His arms. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Anyone? I see that hand. Anyone else? I see a hand. See a hand. See a hand. Okay. Church, would you bow with me? And those that raise their hand, just keep your hand up. Look at me for just a moment. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray it with me to the Father. And watch what God's about to do in your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't know how you're going to fix everything. But today, with my own words, I declare you are the Christ, the risen Savior. the Lamb of God who hung on a cross for me. And your blood was shed to cover my sins. And I repent. I turn my back on the life that was and walk towards you into the light and out of the darkness. And I ask for your forgiveness. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Church, would you do one last thing with me on this Easter Sunday? Would you stand and let's pray for the hurting and the lost and the broken this morning? And I'm going to be bold and tell you what the Holy Spirit told me now that you're standing. The Holy Spirit told me this would be a day that would be marked because the seasons are short. I'm going to say it again, because the seasons are short. The Holy Spirit told me, he said, I will not let the church be comfortable anymore. They're going to find me constantly in their room doing a shaking. So if you think you're going to get past it today, whew, glad that was over with. Why would God do such a thing? Because he loves you. He loves you. He wants you to fulfill your purpose. Now let's pray for the people. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. God, I'm asking you today to put a hook in the jaw of those who are lost and broken and hurting of your truth, your uncompromised truth. And that, Father, your church will arise today. We won't say, boy, look at that hook in their mouth. Hope somebody speaks to them. No, we're going to go speak to them. And we're going to share our Jesus story. Matter of fact, I'm probably going to pick out the person in the office that I don't like speaking to and go share my Jesus story with them, because God cares for them too. I got to move past what's happened and let compassion overflow in my life like Jesus did. Lord, we pray for the lost, the broken, and the hurting today, that you draw them, you woo them to your church. That is us. And we decree and declare that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.